I'm Gene Pasale, and this is Living History. This show explores the rich heritage of the Brandywine Valley outside Philadelphia, focusing on the people, places, and events over more than 300 years which have played an important part in our American heritage. Each show highlights a local town, event, or personality who's had a notable influence on our culture. This Day in History, March 8th. On this day in 1862, naval warfare is forever changed as two ironclads, the Union's Monitor and the Confederacy's Merrimack, fight to a draw off the East Coast near Hampton Roads, ushering in a new era of combat. In 1884, suffragette Susan B. Anthony testifies before the United States House Judiciary Committee, arguing for a constitutional amendment to allow women to vote, a right that would not come to them for more than 35 years. In 1930, Babe Ruth signs a 2-year contract with the New York Yankees for the astronomical sum of $160,000, which he predicted would never be topped. Little did he know that a few decades later, barely mediocre ballplayers who sit on the bench in Major League Baseball would be paid more than twice that amount. And in 1959, Groucho, Chico, and Harpo Marx make their final television appearance together after thrilling audiences with their antics for years. The Marx brothers starred in several films which have become classics of comedy, Groucho later going on to host a popular television show which further endeared him to millions around the country. There are many great art museums around the United States. The Delaware Art Museum is one of them. With beginnings linked to famous local artists Howard Pyle and Frank Schoonover, the Delaware Art Museum regularly showcases outstanding exhibitions of fine art spanning the centuries, with a special focus on American artists. On the fringe of Wilmington, Delaware, the museum has offered displays on pre-Raphaelite works, American moderns from George O'Keeffe to Norman Rockwell, superb photography by artists including Man Ray, a series on Howard Pyle's major works and miniatures, and many others. The museum is directly linked with the Brandywine School of Artists, whose founder Howard Pyle taught students including N.C. Wyeth and Frank Schoonover, both of whom had a major impact on the art world. Heather Coyle is chief curator and curator of American art at the Delaware Art Museum. She oversees a collection that includes thousands of great works created over many decades, showcasing the most important movements and periods in American art. Heather is here to talk with us today. Heather, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Gene.
My pleasure. When was the Delaware Art Museum actually founded, and when did you first open?
So in 1911, Howard Pyle dies unexpectedly in Italy, and the community of Wilmington starts to come together, and by 1912, they have purchased a group of the paintings that were left in Pyle's studio. And this is the basis for an exhibition that is held in 1912, and this really is what gets going. It's called the Wilmington Society of the Fine Arts, and it's what begins to form into the Delaware Art Museum.
Okay, so it basically came to fruition around 1912 or shortly thereafter.
Yes. Now, we didn't have a museum space for quite a while. It wasn't until we were in the public library, and we did annual exhibits in other places, including the Hotel DuPont, but we didn't have a museum building until Samuel Bancroft, who left us our collection of British Pre-Raphaelite art as a bequest in 1935, gave us the land, and then between 1935 and 1938, we raised the money and built the museum, so it opened in its own space in 1938.
Oh, excellent. How long have you been there at the museum?
I have been here for over 14 years.
Oh, long time. Tell us a little bit about your many responsibilities there.
Sure. So I am the curator of American art and the chief curator here. I just started being the chief curator at the beginning of the year, but I came here to work on an exhibition of John Sloan's paintings. Sloan was an American realist painter and illustrator, and the Delaware Art Museum has the largest collection of his work. I came here as a grad student when I was still working my PhD at University of Delaware, and I was won over by the Sloan Collection. It was what I was specializing in, and so I've stayed here, and I oversee our Survey of American Art, which goes from 1757, Well, I oversee up to about 1960, and then our curator of contemporary art takes over with the art from 1960 to the present.
Oh, excellent. You know, some of my favorites include, I believe Edward Hopper is an American, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, I love Hopper. But some of my all-time favorites, I absolutely love Howard Pyle, I love N.C. Wyeth, and Winslow Homer, which I think he ranks right up there among the greatest landscape painters in American art. Do you have any Homers there?
No, we do not. Not paintings. We have prints by Homer, but we have an incredible collection, the strongest collection of work by Howard Pyle.
Mm.
And we have a spectacular Edward Hopper. And, of course, we have many of Pyle's students. The first things we bought after the Pyle collection were works by his students, like N.C. Wyeth and Frank Schoonover.
Mm-hmm.
And then wonderful work, of course, by Andrew Wyeth as well, especially early in his career.
Do you have any Edward Loper?
We do. The Delaware Art Museum is really a community museum and always has been. So our collections, diverse as they are, they reflect the interests and the art that was of the community and the art that was made and collected here. And so, of course, we have work by Loper because he was an important local painter.
Mm-hmm. I was a financial analyst for many years for Wilmington Trust, and at one point they were giving out, I think, commemorative prints from some of the local artists, and I got one of Loper's signed numbered prints, I should say. I think it's actually signed as well. He died not that long ago. I think it was about 95. Is that right?
I'm not sure exactly of Edward Loper's death date, but yes, it's not that long ago. And we do have a nice collection of his work. We bought our first Loper in 1937.
Mm.
And we have work up through the 80s.
That is excellent. You know, I need to get back there to the museum because when I worked in Wilmington, I went there on a fairly regular basis. I remember many years back you had an exhibition of, is it Dale Chihuly's?
Absolutely.
The glasswork?
Yes. So we have a permanent installation. Actually, as you come in to our museum, you can't miss. We have a window that was designed by Chihuly in his studio.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a few other pieces in our permanent collection, although those are not currently on view.
Mm-hmm.
Like now, most museums, most of our collection isn't on view at any one time. It sort of rotates through.
Mm-hmm. Does he work locally, or is he from somewhere else in the U.S.?
Oh, Chihuly, his studio is actually out in Washington State. He's in the Seattle area.
Okay. Well, I remember. I just remember when there was a big exhibition there many years back. It was a big hubbub because a lot of people were saying, "Oh my gosh, look at this great glasswork!" And I did go there, and it's quite amazing. Tell us a little bit about the actual mission of the Delaware Art Museum, and what do you try to offer visitors?
So our official mission is to connect people to art, offering an inclusive and essential community resource through our collections, exhibitions, and programs. So we are really trying to build strong connections to the communities in this region around the art that's here, the art that has been collected and beloved and made by this community.
Oh, that is excellent. You know, you've got a lot of different exhibits and have had many exhibits over the years. Tell us a little bit about the exhibits that are there right now. What's exciting right there at the Delaware Art Museum today?
Okay, so we have just opened an exhibition on the Society of Independent Artists. And the Society of Independent Artists was an exhibiting group in the early to mid-20th century, so 1917 to 1944. It was founded by a group of idealistic modern artists who were looking for new ways to show their work. At the time, the juried exhibition system that was done by various academies was kind of restricted. You often didn't get in if you were doing more innovative work. So they founed an open exhibition. And a lot of dealers weren't, of course, showing younger artists.
Mm-hmm.
So you paid money, only about $5, depending on the year, and you got the ability to exhibit two works of art.
Oh,
so everybody from famous artists to Sunday painters to political cartoonists are showing their work in these huge shows. There are hundreds and hundreds of works in each one. But over the course of the Society's lifetime, it was about over 6,000 artists showed.
Oh, my Lord. Any well-known names?
Absolutely. So the group is founded by some pretty well-known modern artists, not only Americans. Marcel Duchamp is involved. Mm. He's in the U.S. at that point.
Mm-hmm.
In 1917, William Glackens is involved. Mm. John Sloan is involved, which is how we come to have a lot of material related to the society.
Mm-hmm.
Walter Pock is involved. So all sorts of American artists who are really committed to making modern art in the early 20th century.
Oh, that is excellent. I know that Howard Pyle is a pretty big piece of your collection. Whose other works represent a pretty significant percentage of your actual holdings there? What other artists?
So Pyle and his students are really a big part of our collection. Also a big part of our collection is the work of John Sloan and his circle, often called the Ashcan School.
Mm-hmm.
Sloan's, we have about 3,000, almost 3,000 works, if you count.
Mm.
All the etchings and works on paper by Sloan. We also have his personal papers, which include the papers for the Society of Independent Artists,
mm.
Which is 300 boxes and drawers of mm. things. So
that's
it's
quite a bit.
Yeah, everything from photographs to letters to, you name it. If Sloan had it, we ended up with it through his widow, who formed a relationship, a friendship with one of the curators here.
Mm-hmm. Have you personally gone through a lot of the actual manuscripts and materials and photos yourself?
I have. I have been through much of, I will not say all of, because I don't know that I can even say, even I can say that yet, the Sloan papers here, the archival material. We did a big show when I came on staff. We were planning a big show for 2007 on Sloan in New York, and mm. this fall we will be opening a big retrospective, so looking at Sloan's entire career.
Mm.
So I've been through a lot of the Sloan papers. Our librarian and I have probably seen more of them than anybody who's currently living.
Mm-hmm.
So his widow had obviously seen more, and some former curators here. And we are actually digitizing a lot of that material now in advance of the exhibition and trying to put more and more of it online.
Oh, that is excellent. Now, was John Sloan, did he live in the area?
No. So Sloan was born in Lock Haven, Pennsylvania, but grew up in Philadelphia, attended the mm-hmm. Pennsylvania Academy, worked
mm-hmm.
as a newspaper illustrator in Philadelphia, but then moved up to New York. He's really best known as a painter of New York,
mm.
as part of that Ashcan School, who was painting everyday life in mm-hmm. the early 20th century in
mm-hmm.
New York. His widow ended up donating the collection here because she formed a friendship with a curator here who was doing research on Sloan and his circle, Bruce St. John, and that's how the papers ended up here. He's not from here. She's not from here. It was just her decision that perhaps Sloan would be happier as a big frog in a small pond.
That sounds pretty good. It was a good plan. Do you showcase many of the Brandywine School of Artists, N.C. Wyeth, Andrew Wyeth, others?
Absolutely. So we have three galleries dedicated to Pyle, and then we have more galleries dedicated to his students and other parts of American illustration, many of which have local ties. So we often have Schoonover, and we've got Schoonover, we've got Wyeth, we have loads of his other students, Mead Schaefer. So lots of the American illustrators working in that style, really
mm-hmm.
core to our collections here. Many of them were involved in the museum in its early years because they were here.
Yes. No, that is great. We are going to take a brief break for a commercial, but stay with us. We'll be right back with Heather Coyle of the Delaware Art Museum. I'm Gene Pasale, and this is Living History. We're talking with Heather Coyle of the Delaware Art Museum today, and Heather is the chief curator and the curator of American art at the museum. Heather, we've talked about a lot of different artists. One artist that I absolutely love, I think he's more known for prints and illustrations than much of anything else, but a guy named Maxfield Parrish. He was roughly coincident with N.C. Wyeth and Frank Schoonover. Do you have any works by Maxfield Parrish there?
Yes, we do. We have a wonderful early Parrish painting. So Parrish is, he's that generation who many illustrators did become Pyle students, but supposedly the story is that Parrish went to one of Pyle's lectures and showed him some of his work, and Pyle basically said, "I don't have anything to teach you." So he was never really one of Pyle's students, but he's an important part of American illustration. So we do. We have a really wonderful illustration by Parrish called The Tramp's Thanksgiving, which was a magazine cover.
Oh, that's interesting. So I'm guessing from what you said that Howard Pyle thought Maxfield Parrish was pretty darn talented.
Absolutely. And Parrish was. One of the other cool things that we have in our collection, actually in our archives, we have letters that Maxfield Parrish, who was a relative of the Bancroft family who gave us the Pre-Raphaelite collection. We have letters he wrote when he was 12 or 13 and traveling through Europe with his family. And his ability to draw at that age, they're all illustrated letters, is extraordinary. Mm. I mean, he was, from the get-go, an incredibly talented young man.
Just gifted from the start. What are some of your personal favorite pieces there at the Delaware Art Museum? Tell us a little bit about them.
Well, you did mention Edward Hopper earlier, and we have an absolutely spectacular Edward Hopper called Summertime. It is of a lovely red-haired woman on the steps of a New York City apartment building.
I think I know that one, yes.
It's a very famous work. It's in wonderful condition, and it was collected locally by a collector who lived, John Sexton, who lived just down the street from the museum, and who bought it when it was really just freshly painted, so when it was contemporary art, and then gave it to the to his niece, who then gave it to the museum in 1962.
That is great. I actually have a framed print by Hopper. It's called Railroad Sunset. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, but it's a beautiful landscape. I love his use of colors. I really enjoy Hopper. What are some of the upcoming exhibits or special events that you have planned there for the coming weeks and months at the Delaware Art Museum?
Sure. So our big exhibition for the spring is Wonder and Whimsy, the Art of W. Heath Robinson. Heath Robinson is an English illustrator, so we also do English art related to the Pre-Raphaelite tradition here. And his work, I think of him as being a bit like a Howard Pyle of England. If you go to England, a lot more people know his name, but even more people than know his name grew up with Heath Robinson's images in books and in magazines. And they're really wonderful and whimsical and fun, and we're doing a big exhibition here that opens in March.
Oh, that is excellent. You know, you mentioned illustrations. Apparently, N.C. Wyeth did not particularly like being called an illustrator. He preferred to be called a professional artist. And it's interesting, though, that many of his illustrations are absolutely superb. It's kind of strange that we today look at his illustrations and think these are works of art. What do you think about that?
So N.C. Wyeth, unlike, say, Pyle, who's a bit older, N.C. Wyeth is coming of age in a period where the illustration profession is becoming thought of as being somehow lesser than quote-unquote fine art, right? So he sees that happening and really wants to be thought of as a painter. It's to some degree a matter of status.
Mm-hmm.
But I think N.C. Wyeth's illustrations are the most interesting work he does. They're extraordinary. He's an extraordinary painter.
Yes.
And I actually love when those works are tied to literature and to stories. They had an incredible impact also on American culture because they were illustrations. A lot more people see illustrations every month in the early 20th century than go to museums and see paintings.
Yes. I think N.C. Wyeth and actually Andrew Wyeth were both history buffs and liked to incorporate history into their illustrations and sketches.
Absolutely. That's something also comes out of Pyle. As an illustrator, Pyle was particularly respected for his fidelity to historical objects and costume and things like that when he did his American history illustrations.
Mm-hmm. What special events do you have coming up or speaker series? Do you have any special speakers, visiting scholars, that kind of thing, scheduled for the museum?
Well, let's see. So to go with the Heath Robinson show, there are a series of tours by the exhibition curator one each month in March, April, and May. And there are a lot of great family programs as well to go with that show. We have performances of snippets of The Snow Queen by the Delaware Arts Conservatory on April 9th. We have performances from the Delaware Shakespeare Festival, and these works all relate to things that Robinson actually illustrated. That's on the Shakespeare Festival. Performances are on May 11th. And then we also have some interesting youth projects. We have a family who is redoing our children's area. Each year we have a family in residence that remakes the kids' corner.
Oh, that's great.
And that opens on March 12th.
Oh, that is excellent. Have any art books actually been published under the auspices of the Delaware Art Museum?
Absolutely. We frequently publish catalogs to go with our big exhibitions. If we build the exhibition from the ground up, we often produce a catalog. Personally, I did a big book on Sloan. We did a big book on Pyle. We've done books on many other American illustrators.
Mm. Oh, that is excellent. I'm a longtime art collector and lover of art, and I always enjoy getting a nice full-color book or even booklet of some of the pieces in a collection. I have books from the Philadelphia Art Museum, which I'm sure you're familiar with. The Philadelphia Art Museum has a program, or at least they used to have a program, they used to kind of nickname Art After Dark, where you go to the museum and they have live music and entertainment and food and beverages. Have you ever had that at the Delaware Art Museum, kind of an Art After Dark Thursday or Friday night series?
Sure. It's not as regular a series here, but certainly several times a year we will be open late, usually in conjunction with some sort of exhibition. Mm-hmm. We do them in the summer often because we have a wonderful outside terrace and mm-hmm. sculpture garden.
Mm-hmm.
And we will have, sometimes we have food trucks, we have performers as well.
Oh, that's great. That is great. It's always a lot of fun. I have to say that as a lover of fine art, I'm not as well versed in modern art, meaning probably 1950 to the present. And some of it to me is not very approachable. But I'm sure you, as a longtime scholar of art, have a little bit different view on modern or abstract art. Tell us a little bit about your views on modern art.
Well, I'm fascinated with abstract art. I love seeing, and I particularly am interested in works that kind of straddle the line between abstraction and representation, where we're really simplifying form and drawing the essence out of it. Mm. And a lot of our collection actually is on that border. And I have to say, if you are, and we certainly have modern art of every type here, but we are particularly strong in the realist tradition. So mm-hmm. if abstraction isn't your thing, Delaware Art Museum might be the perfect place to experience modern and contemporary art because there is a strong figurative tradition there as well, and it is really a strength in our collection.
So, for example, would you have anything by de Kooning?
No, we do not have, we actually don't tend to have a lot of that New York school of abstract expressionism mm-hmm. here. I mean, we have work by Robert Motherwell. We do mm-hmm. have abstract art, but we do not have a de Kooning in the collection.
Mm-hmm. I know de Kooning is well known, certainly in the New York area. Tell us a little bit about your works of sculpture and any alternative mediums there, sculpture, alternative art?
Absolutely. So we have sculpture throughout history, that goes with our collection. So really 19th and 20th and very recent sculpture as well. And then we have very contemporary work that is working with light and with mirrors as well.
Sounds interesting. A little bit different.
Absolutely. So the contemporary art goes, goes the whole spectrum, of course.
Yeah. Anything by Henri Moore?
We do not, because Moore was a British modern sculptor, and our British collection really is focused on the Pre-Raphaelite era.
Mm-hmm.
And so we only go through the sort of end of the 19th century. We also have wonderful collections of decorative arts here.
Mm.
So not just, your paintings and your sculptures, but also ceramics and quilts and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Jewelry.
There's a category of art, which I'm sure you're familiar with, which I think is called folk art. And it's kind of a cross between arts and crafts and fine art. Tell us a little bit about what you understand about folk art.
So folk art is definitely outside of my area of specialization, and we don't have much that falls into a folk art tradition here at the Delaware Art Museum. So the folk art tradition is the idea often of artists who don't go to art school, right, who
mm-hmm.
are self-taught.
Yes.
And but in the period of art, actually, that I've been working on a lot lately, in the 1930s and 1940s, many American artists and American collectors are starting to get interested in folk art. So you
mm-hmm.
see the influence of folk art traditions on sort of mainstream American art. So you have artists who have gone to art school painting in a more naive style, a style that tries to look like they didn't spend years in art school.
Very interesting. One area that's gotten a lot more attention, certainly from academia and on an historical basis, is African American period and African American contributors to American history. Do you have much on African American art or art movements through the decades?
We absolutely, and we are actively collecting African-American art, work by African-American artists, work of significant African-American artists. One of the signature pieces of the collection is actually a portrait of Absalom Jones, which was done by a white artist, but he was a very significant figure in the Philadelphia African-American society. So, and we certainly have collection. We're particularly strong on African-American art that is in our contemporary collection. We recently purchased a wonderful piece by a living local African-American artist, Peter Williams, who is at the University of Delaware. He's a professor there. We just purchased a fabulous work by him that's going to go up in April. So,
excellent.
Definitely an area we're actively reaching out and collecting in.
Tell us a little bit about your website. What's the name of it, and what can people expect to see going to your website?
Okay, so our website, it can be found at delart.org. And on our website, you will find information about all of our upcoming exhibitions, our upcoming programs, and you can search the collection. Not the entire collection is not online yet, but we're in the process of putting it, and more than three-quarters of the collection is online and can be searched if you just want to learn more about what we have, as well as the usual how to get here and hear about our, you know, that we have a cafe and we have a shop and all those things if you're coming to visit.
Oh, that's excellent. Now, you know, one thing I always ask my guests is, what is the first thing that visitors to your site see and are most impressed with when they walk in your doors, in terms of your exhibits? What is the first thing they see and are likely to feel an impression made on them?
So one of the first places that people encounter when they come into the museum after they move through the Grand Hall, I've asked our people go right into those Howard Pyle galleries, in part because that's one of the interests that people come here with, many people coming here to see Pyle specifically because he's a local artist or because they love American illustration. And also, the Pyle paintings, I mean, they were made to catch your eye in a magazine. They still catch your eye on the wall. They draw people right into that space.
Yes. Oh, that is great. Heather, tell us a little bit about your operating hours and best times to visit.
Certainly. So we are open Wednesday through Sunday. So we're closed Monday, Tuesday. And we are open 10 to 4, except we're open late on Thursdays. We're open till 8 on Thursday nights. And then we are open, the other days we're open 10 to 4.
Very good. Heather, thanks so much for joining us today for the show. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday, March 15th, at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, when we'll be speaking with Adam Duncan of the Independence Historic Park and Independence Hall in Philadelphia. Thank you all for tuning in today to Living History.